Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It's on the way. Highs of 82 today, warm and breezy. I'm talking about summertime. Same for tomorrow, 84 Thursday, 86. That's knocking on the door, 90 on Friday, and then Saturday, 84 as it turns cooler Sunday. Highs of 70, one of the final cold fronts of the season. We got to get out there and enjoy it while we can. Anita Raj joins us now, Executive Director of Tulane University's Newcomb Institute. Talk about a new survey that they did about not just the human cost, but the staggering economic cost of domestic violence, particularly as it relates to intimate partners. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. Take me through this. I'm just going to sit back and let you talk about the study and what made you guys do it and what it is that you found, okay?
Sure. Yeah. So in 2023, in the middle of 2023, we did a statewide survey on violence experiences across the lifespan of Louisianans, just to take a pulse on the general population's experiences of various forms of violence. And because, you know, much of our data comes from the criminal justice system, and most people don't report their violence experiences into the criminal justice system. So one of the things we learned from that study was that the rates of intimate partner violence are higher here than we had seen in other locations. And so we started working a little bit more on that. What we were finding was about half of all Louisianans have had an experience of intimate partner violence, or domestic violence, as you called it. And about,
Wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Slightly more women than men, but men have had the experiences as well. Where we really saw the difference between women and men, though, was when you looked at some of the more severe forms of violence, the kinds of violence that could threaten a life. So intimate partner violence with a gun, or intimate partner violence that involved suffocation or choking. And in those cases, women were three times more likely to have had those experiences relative to men. And in the process of looking at that, we were working with local organizations like the Louisiana Coalition Against Domestic Violence and United Way Southeast Louisiana. They really informed us that it would be very helpful to understand economic costs of this, because when they're trying to convey the importance of economic need for the services they provide, it can often be like, oh, you know, it's appropriations, we don't have the money. But without a reflection on what those economic costs are of inaction. And I said, well, you know, people have done this in other country contexts. I have colleagues that have done it at the global scale in various countries around the world. And so I said, let me see if they can do a comparable study here for Louisiana based on our data. And we could pull together the data from our study and also just costing data throughout the state based on budgets and you know, Medicaid costs, various types of costs. And to that end, what we found was that the economic cost annually is $10.1 billion a year.
In the state?
In the state.
Wow.
Yeah, and 87% of that is healthcare costs. So recognizing that, you know, there's hospitalizations, there's injury, but there's also a mental health cost, and there's also attached to health, there's elements of the fact that you have fatality costs. So, that is the bulk of the costing. And that's indicative of when the violence becomes so severe, you are going to elevate your costs. And so not supporting people earlier in a process to be able to leave or to be able to address the circumstance and situation at hand, that is really escalating the cost that we are having for the state. And so, you know, hopefully this can help guide people in decision-making about, do you want to put money into services? Do you want to put money into violence prevention? Because that can potentially, you know, reduce our costs, particularly with regard to healthcare.
You got to start with a definition, right, doctor? You don't just, when you do one of these studies, you got to have parameters and clear definitions of what it is that you're studying. So when you say intimate partner violence, how are we defining that?
Yeah, so it includes emotional violence, which is things like humiliating people. It can be threats, you know, threats to self or others. Then there's the actual physical violence. So it can be, you know, hitting, slapping. It can be more severe forms, like I said, choking, suffocation. It also includes sexual violence, so, you know, sexual assaults in the intimate relationship.
When it comes to guns or weapons, did you break it down proportionately as to cost? Would choking cost more than guns? Or, and I'm not trying to sound insensitive about this. I'm phrasing it terribly, but you understand what I'm asking.
Of course. So, you know, the different, so any the forms of violence that increase the risk for severe injury or more, you know, fatality, those are going to cost they're going to be a greater cost to the healthcare system. They're also going to be a greater cost to the criminal justice system, appropriately, because once something becomes life-threatening, it's more likely to come up in the criminal justice system, and we want to be able to address that. It is the minority of cases, but the cost of those cases is greater. One of the things that adds to the cost, though, is when it's this pervasive, when you have it, it's this, we say like normative, it's almost normal. When you see half the population experiencing it, this is almost a normal phenomenon, but it takes a mental health toll. And it takes, you know, that toll of mental health, that affects suicidality, that affects substance use behaviors, and mental health affects, you know, your physical health. And it also affects things like work days lost, right? So it all adds up, even when it's not that level of severity, because more severe violence costs more, but the numbers affected by the less severe violence, which still costs, is so much greater.
Make it up in volume. I hate to say that, but that's kind of what happens. So let me take a break. We come back. I want to pick it up here because I would think, in addition, when you say it costs $10.1 billion, it has to cost somebody. And I would think that it costs the people in terms of physical care, the people that are the victims of violence themselves or the intimate partner violence. That cost is it's their cost, let me put it that way, and that as a result, that leads to more stressors, which can cause more violence. And I don't know if the study went into that or not, and we'll talk about some of the cures for this when we come back. We're talking to Dr. Anita Raj. We talked to her last year about this, executive director of Tulane University's Newcomb Institute. Domestic violence in Louisiana has a cost of some $10.1 billion, 87% of it healthcare costs. And we'll continue to talk about it when we come back, about what groups are more affected than others. 720 Traffic Now, WWL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dr. Anita Raj, Executive Director of Tulane University's Newcomb Institute, about a study they have about intimate partner violence in Louisiana and the costs of it to the state, $10.1 billion. Doc, before we went to the break, I was talking about these costs are to the state, but they are to the individuals involved in this, and I would imagine that that creates more stressors, which causes even more incidences of violence.
So you would be correct in that. So it's costing the state, costing taxpayers, it's costing employers, and it's costing, obviously, the people who are affected, both the people that are experiencing the violence, but also the people perpetrating it. What we know is that when there's increased stress, when there's increased financial stress, we do see for relationships where there's violence occurring, it can escalate. And so you're absolutely right. What it does is it can increase severity, and that severity, again, yields higher costs.
Would you go so far as to call this an epidemic?
Absolutely. There is no question we are in an epidemic. And I would say it's just, you know, when you see it at this high of a rate, it's an epidemic that is really, it's so pervasive that it's been normalized. I fear that it's been normalized in society. When you see that, you know, over half of people have had it, or about half, and you see that 22% of our sample, 22% of Louisiana adults have seen their mothers or caregivers abused by their mother's partner when they were children. That's just unacceptably high.
I know you're in the Tulane School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine, and when you talk about epidemic, it would be a metaphorical vaccine, I guess. So how do you solve this, doctor? How do you treat this epidemic?
Yeah, so one of the things we know is that these kinds of experiences start both in terms of the people who engage in the behaviors and violent acts. They are more likely to be starting at younger ages, and people who are experiencing it are more likely to experience them at younger ages. So we tend to see some of the highest rates in young adulthood. Notably, so in our adult population that we have, we saw the highest rates by far. So about 15% of 18 to 24-year-olds report violence in the past year, intimate partner violence in the past year, compared with 1% of people 65 and older. So you can see that this is something that's really high in our youngest groups. That's why I think prevention is really important, and support programs are really important, because it's able to reach, if we could get it on time, it's able to reach people earlier in the situation. And if we can get support to them earlier, or prevention earlier, then we can alleviate not just the likelihood of the violence occurring, but if it occurs, potentially, you know, mitigate some of those really long-term harmful effects.
We only have a minute left. Talk about the role of substance abuse in this, if you will, doctor.
Sure. So substance use, it's an interesting question here, because there's two things that can happen. One is that if you're engaging in substance use, you're more vulnerable to being in relationships that may be harmful. And that could include harmful in a variety of ways, but that includes intimate partner violence. At the same time, we know that violence itself increases the likelihood of just mental health concerns. Of course, it's increasing depression, anxiety, and suicidality. So, you know, people may use substances to cope because they're unable to leave for whatever reason, unable to leave. Many of these people are mothers, by the way, and that's one of the reasons they often, you know, may choose to stay.
So who should use this information to do what?
Yeah, so I'm hopeful that, the data is supporting the programs to understand which populations and what kind of services could be most useful. But I'm also hoping that state legislature, the governor's office, will consider, as they make decisions about appropriations and priorities, that they consider that what are the costs of inaction, and not just consider what are the costs of action. We currently have no state budget that is dedicated to violence prevention in the state. And so I think that is an area that I hope could be considered as they look at these data.
Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate your work and you coming on to share these results with us. And you know, to us, it's a study, or to you, it's a study. But these are real people that are involved in their lives that are messed up like this. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Rafael Goyeneche, President of Metropolitan Crime Commission. Right now, we pause for WWL First News.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.